When I say it's Baruch Hashem Adonai Yehoshua HaMashiach, that means blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrew. And, about the only thing on my mind, I guess, is that I just got to believe that the Lord has healed me. All I can say is that there is something out here. It's a mind. And I've been in that mind, and the devil's tried to push me out of it. And Brother Zell just prayed with me, and the Lord gave me faith that I was healed. And he's had a couple other things happen in my life through prayer with other believers, and even with an incident with a non-believer as far as my faith in being healed. People who, you know, when you have mental problems, they give you drugs in the hospital, which all they do is they just numb you and block up your mind so you can't hardly think. And I talked with one of these people who gives me the drugs, and I just didn't know what to say. And finally I just told her the truth, and I said, well, I have faith that God's healed me. And I was amazed how God prepared her heart, how she was just really open. She didn't really understand what my faith was about, but she was just really open, and she wasn't angry with me, and she wasn't going to make me take the drugs either. So I just praise God. And I just really ask for your prayers that I have the strength and the faith to be able to fight the battle, because already the devil started to fight me already. But the Lord, last night he started, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave me peace about that, and I just really pray that the Lord has given me a sound mind, and that I just am able to stand on that.
I belong to the family of God. I'm no longer some other dear son, but my Father above sends you His love on the wings of a beautiful dove, on the wings of a snowy white dove. My Father sent down His pure love to tell you today to walk in His way and belong to the family of God. Jesus was preaching one day when Mary, His mother, came by. She asked for a son, but that Holy One answered her with this reply: I belong to the family of God. I'm no longer some other's dear son, but my Father above sends you His love on the wings of a beautiful dove, on the wings of a snowy white dove. My Father sent down His sweet love to tell you today to walk in His way family of God. Jesus, breve cava un día. Cuando María, su madre, pasó por su hijo pidió, pero el Santísimo con esto le contestó. Pertenezco a la familia de Dios, de una madre e hijo no soy, pero mi padre amador envía su amor, una bella paloma lo trae en las alas de una paloma. Mi padre envía su amor y sirve a usted hoy que ande en su amor y que sea de la familia de Dios. Oh, blessed Mary, don't cry when you think of the cross I must bear. Your heart breaks in two, but I do it for you, that your blessings with others you share. I belong to the family of God. I'm no longer some mother's dear son, but my Father above sends you his love. On the wings of a beautiful dove, on the wings of a snowy white dove, my Father sent out his sweet love to tell you today to walk in his way and belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Oh, yes, I do, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want be a Christian in my heart.
When I came to Jesus, I said, "Little, I gave him my life to control. Neither fear nor persuasion could draw me to Christ, but his love has captured my soul. I'm a prisoner of love, a slave to the master.
Magazine, he said, God has in the past given us a healing ministry, but said has in this last few years given us the revelation of Jesus Christ to get us ready and to prepare us. So it is a true fact that everybody's coming to the revelation of Jesus Christ, as we said that they would do, and that the last message that would be hurled around the world would be the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there is a thing going around called the charismatic move, and it is a big thing. It's really gaining momentum and really growing, and it appears to be the biggest thing that is out on the field. And I really believe that it perhaps is one of the biggest things that they've got going. In the charismatic, you can do anything you want to. You can act any way you want to, live any way you want to. You don't have to deny yourself of anything. You can occupy any position of life you want to and be anything you want to, as long as you sing praises to God and as long as you are numbered with them that speak in tongues. But I want you to know one thing, that speaking in tongues is no proof of salvation. It doesn't prove anything. And praising God does not prove anything at all. You can praise God from now on. That does not prove anything. Speaking in tongues does not prove anything. All of the things that they're trying to do amounts to exactly nothing. That's right. I know there's some good people that are caught in the web of the charismatic, and it is a web of Satan. And I know that there's some good people that are caught in it, and I know that there's some good things that take place when people come together believing, because the innocent are always involved. But the charismatic move is not a move of God. Satan is taking his toll, and you'll see the way that it'll wind up. If you'll keep your eyes on it, you'll see the way that it will wind up. The Pope of Rome highly praised it, and anything that the Pope praises, you can be sure God's not in it. He highly favored it. He thought it was a great thing, and it's no little wonder that he did, because the origin of the word is a Catholic origin. It comes from a paganistic thing and goes back to Greek mythology. And you'll find that that is the reason why that he so highly praised it. But anyway, on this trip, we run into that very thing, and that was a charismatic thing. The people that were with us were charismatic. Some of them very fine people. But having been taught the charismatic way, they did not bar anything. They done anything they wanted to. They just praised God and sang, but they did not bar anything between male and female. They just done whatever they wanted to. That's the charismatic. Like a report that Brother Walden gave not too long ago on the charismatic, that while two women prayed together down at the altars and spoke in tongues and carried on, they become perverts right there. And the woman come and confessed it. So it is a terrible thing that's taking place. There's only one thing that will please God, and that is holiness. It's well said that it is holiness or hell. If you're not going to have holiness, God's going to turn you into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And when he said forget God, he's speaking of the Word of God. For the Word of God is God, and you forget the Word of God and its application to your life, and God will turn you into hell. So then the charismatic move is not the way. It is definitely not the way. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is the way. And it's going to be the thing that God uses to take the church home. So then you remember, if you recall, I said that when the revelation of Jesus Christ started to move, it would begin to form the membership of the God body. I said, and if you'll carefully observe that at this particular time, Satan will also start a move that will head up in the Catholic Church to pick up his. And I said, what it will be, I said, all of them will go Pentecost. How many remember that? I said, speaking in tongues will become the preeminence, and they all will go Pentecost. Did I say that? Is it happening that way? Exactly that way. The charismatic's just jumping out of nowhere, and all of a sudden everybody's beginning to latch on to it. So beware, let no man deceive you. Now I want you to pray. I want you to pray and ask God to help us. Help us to carry on his work. And when you pray and ask God to help us carry on his work, then I'd like for you to ask God what you can do to help carry it on. How many like to do that? You pray and you say, Lord, I want you to help Brother Pike. And then in the next breath you say, Lord, what can I do to help him? Is that all right?
Amen.
All right. God will certainly show you something you can do, folks, if you're sincere. And I can truthfully say that if you are going to do anything for God, you will have to do it in a hurry. Things are winding up fast. I made the statement, I said that this year would start off being very prosperous. God is already blessing. People are already being blessed. But at the same time, I understand that five cities from the crisis, five great cities have folded up and went bankrupt. Forget what the cities are, but they're great cities. One of them is Detroit, Michigan, I believe. And they have asked the president for help, and he said it would be a long time before he could assist them. And they said, by the time that you give us support, that we'll be so far in debt there would be no way to come out of it. So they're folding up. At the same time, I said Atlanta would continue to abound. How many remember that? And the eyes would turn toward Atlanta, Georgia. And at the same time, God would begin to turn minds toward little Bethlehem. So then, it is happening exactly the way that we said it would happen. Step by step, things are falling into place. And I want to say again that I would like to be a part of what God's doing. I believe that I am a part of it. And I want to try to do something for the Lord. I want to read just a little bit over in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want you to read with me. I'm just a little bit strange. You pray for me because I'm just a little bit weary. Not weary in well-doing, but just a little bit weary. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and let me say this just before we read, that I hope that when we have the meeting over in Missouri, that numbers of you can go to the meeting. Because of what the meeting is significant of, we're going to advertise the meeting, let them know by radio that we're having it in the area, and some of the other churches that are interested, we're going to let them know that we're having it. And I want you to pray and ask God to help us and ask God to have his way in it, because it is a beautiful thing. If we get inspired, maybe we'll speak some concerning what it does denote. But it definitely has to do with the trip to Israel. So reading in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John goes on to say that after this he saw a new earth and a new heaven, said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now reading here in the 19th chapter, I read two chapters because I wanted to get over a thought here, but reading in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, we're told that in this 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, that the Lord is seen returning after the tribulation period. He is seen returning on a white horse, coming back not by himself, but the Bible tells us that there were many saints of God coming back on white horses, that was riding with this great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And upon his vesture he had the name, the Word of God. Now he also had a name, the Bible said, that no man knew except him, and that nobody, as far as we know, had come to understand this name or to know this name. In other words, only those that to whom he would reveal the name was eligible to have the name. That it was not a public thing, but it was just given to those that he wanted to give it to. You follow me? Now, I believe that that name has to do with the bride of Christ. I really believe that. In other words, when you marry a woman, that is you men, when you marry a woman, you don't give everybody the name, but you give the name to your wife. She's the only one that gets that name, because that name is something that ties you and her together. Now, I don't believe in this new name thing that everybody's going around with. I hear people talking about the new name of Christ and that God has given it to some people. I don't believe that. Now, if that's their conviction, that's all right, but I don't believe that. According to Revelation, this name, nobody knew it but Jesus. It had not been given to anybody but Jesus. It had not been made known to anybody but Jesus. So then no one had this name but Jesus, and to whomsoever Jesus will give it to in that day. So then I do not believe, as I've said before, I do not believe that there is a new name that God has given to people in this world. I don't believe that. I believe that the only name that has ever been given among mankind is the name Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there is none other name given, none other name that is given among men where there is salvation in it except the name Jesus. So then I'm convinced that this name that Jesus had that no man knew is something that God has reserved to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the time comes, then that name will be made known to us if he desires that we should know it. But here in the book of Revelation, when he comes back on the white horse, it is said here that 10,000 of the saints apparently is coming back with him. And when he comes back, it is for the purpose of making war. It is for the purpose of binding Antichrist and doing away with the regime of Satan. It is for the purpose of bringing in a government that will last 1,000 years, where the saints of God and the sons of God will be empowered to be the government of that earth. And I believe that in the middle of this year, with the fall of this government, I believe that that government is coming in. I believe that the government of God is on the verge of coming in right now. As a matter of fact, while we was over in Jerusalem, we went into the Mosque of Omar, and there as we stood in the Mosque of Omar, of course they call it the Dome of the Rock. The Jews don't like to call it the Mosque, so they call it the Dome of the Rock. The reason that they do that is because there is a huge dome that is over the rock where Abraham offered up his son to God as a sacrifice, or would have had the angel not stopped him. They call it the Dome of the Rock. But while we was there, I was made to see some things and understand some things that was taking place, and by that I know that the coming of the Lord is not far away. And while I stood there in the Mosque of Omar, I got near this rock, having a fence around it. I got near the rock. They have a fence and they watch you so very close that you can't even take a picture. They won't even let you take a picture. And while we was there, I got close to the rock. I said within my heart, I said, Lord, it might cause me problems. The police might catch me, or they might mob me. I don't know what they'll do to me because of the attitude of these people. They even count the rug sacred. They make you pull off your shoes because they count the rug sacred that you step on. But when I got close to it, the Lord spoke to my heart. And I said, God, I said, this rock belongs to the Hebrew people. It does not belong to the Muslims. It belongs to the Hebrew people, and it belongs to God. It does not belong to Satan. And I said, Lord, I'm going to take one of these Hebrew tracks, and I'm going to fold this track up that has the name of Jesus Christ across the bottom. And I'm going to throw this rock, this track, over on the top of that rock. And I don't know what they'll do if they see me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I folded it up, and I said, when I throw it over there, and the name of Jesus Christ falls on that rock, I said, I'm going to claim this rock in this place for Jesus Christ and for the Hebrew people as a restoration unto God. Jesus said, whatever ye bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. And I said, I'm going to bind it on earth as I stand here in the Holy Land. I'm going to bind it on earth, and I'm going to claim it for Jesus Christ. So I folded it up. When I got opportunity, I floated it, and it went over on top of the rock. In just a few minutes after it hit the top of the rock, I noticed that the lights at the base of the rock, which had not been on, suddenly came on. And then as we moved around to the side, Brother Beretta, moved over to the end of the rock. It's a huge rock. And as he moved over toward the end of the rock, there was a pillar that, and on this pillar was the face of Satan, where these people had cut out a piece of marble or something, and in cutting it out, God had made the face of Satan to appear in it. And there was the face of Satan right there, very vividly, on the pillar. And I told Brother Redder I wanted a picture of it, and I knew then, too, that we might get in trouble for that, because we'd been given strict orders that we couldn't take pictures. But anyway, Brother Beretta was bold enough that he stepped to the side of the pillar. And as he did, he put up the camera and he flashed a picture. And of course, when he flashed a picture, they began to holler and scream at him. By that time, I was over near the door. And Brother Frank, he just acted like he didn't know what was going on. And he kept his camera and got over to the door and finally got out with the picture. But anyway, we got the picture. I'd like for you to see the picture, because it's really something, that this picture is the face of Satan. And nobody made it like that. It was just in the rock when they took it up. I believe God, knowing that that place was not pleasing to God, let this face come in that pillar, that it might be a rebuke there, that everybody might see it. And so then I asked the Lord. I said, God, I said, I claim that rock in the name of Jesus Christ for you and your people. And I said, as a restoration to God, I claim it. And I said, I know that you'll do something to this mosque of Omah and restore that rock to the rightful people. I said, but one thing, I said, I'd love to know just exactly what you're doing. And God spoke to my heart and told me that that tract that had been printed in little Bethlehem, the babe being born in Bethlehem, and the name of Jesus coming way over to the same place where Isaac was offered up as a type, that same God, that same Jesus, the name of the Lord, whatever his name is, there is his presence. And that same Jesus, that name went over on that rock, which was typical of Christ. And when Brother Beretta snapped the picture of the face of Satan, God said, I will destroy the man of perdition with the brightness of my coming. And so then when the name went over on the rock, Brother Beretta snapped the picture, and the bright light of that flash completely blotted out the face of Satan on that rock, signifying that because we had claimed it in Jesus' name, that God would overthrow the temple of Satan and destroy it with the brightness of his coming. Such like things took place. Many things took place while we were there. Such like things took place as we were walking there in the Holy Land. And God showed us that the coming of the Messiah was not very far away. As we went down to the eastern gates there, we had to go down. It was on the inside of the wall. We had to go down a stairway, get down into the stair, down into the flat there at the bottom of the stairs. And we saw the gates that are sealed up, that has been sealed up, called the Golden Gates, sealed up. Ever since the time that Jesus came, it has been sealed up. And they've sealed it up that no one can go in there anymore until the coming of Jesus. How many remember that Jesus rode a little donkey into that gate? On Palm Sunday, it was in April, that he rode the little fowl of an ass into that gate, and they sealed it up. It was on Palm Sunday, and they broke the branches down before him and the palm leaves and began to cry Hosanna to the King. And when he came through this gate, after that, they sealed it up. Now then, standing on top of the Mount of Olives, you can look. And as you look from the Mount of Olives, you look down through the Valley of Kidron. And the Valley of Kidron goes down like this, and then right back up, coming up right at the base of the wall that is around Jerusalem, where the Golden Gates are located. So then, standing over here from the Mount of Olives, you look down through the Valley of Kidron, just like I would stand up here and look down through this right here and then look at the people back over here on the balcony. And so then down through the Valley of Kidron and then coming up, immediately there is the Eastern Gate. This Eastern Gate, coming down from the Eastern Gate across the Valley of Kidron and coming up to the Mount of Olives, is the Palm Sunday Road. The Palm Sunday Road leads right down through there, coming right on over to those gates. Now, I believe that someday that God will cause that mosque of Omar to be shaken down. God will tear the thing down that God might restore the temple of Solomon. The mosque is not built where the temple of Solomon was built, but right out from the mosque there is a temple that is built that the Muslims have there, that it is built right over the site of Solomon's temple. As a matter of fact, while we was over there, they were uncovering the steps to the temple. They already had an excavation thing going right there at the temple. And right where we went in and cursed this other temple in the name of the Lord, right there they are uncovering the steps to the old temple that was one time erected in the days of Solomon. So then, in seeing the Palm Sunday road where Jesus rode the little donkey, it really signified something. While we were over at Nazareth, there would be, they had, Brother Doug had preached there at one of the churches, and we came out of the church of Nazareth, and when we came out of the church, we walked out into the street, and what would you think would take place but a feller come along with a little Palm Sunday donkey, and we just had to take a ride. I don't go around riding donkeys, but they come up with this little Palm Sunday donkey. And Sister Betty was put on a donkey, and I was put on a donkey. And I really saw something taking place, because it was on Sunday the 7th, I believe, when that happened. I believe it was on a Sunday when we was placed on the little donkey. And going from Nazareth, it really had a significance. Because, as I said, we went down to the gate, and when we went down to the gate, we got past the authorities. Now the authorities was there, and we wasn't supposed to go down in there, but we got past it. Brother Mike had been given out literature, and they had picked him up. The authorities had taken him, and they had taken him up here in the high place, a little stairway around like this. And I thought about the crucifixion of Jesus, and how that at the crucifixion of the Lord, when the law had grabbed him, how that it opened the door in heaven, and how that the sealed gates has to do with the doors opening to Jerusalem, which of course Jerusalem is a type of the new city, which is heaven. And Brother Mike being delivered up, I thought about that and what took place there at that particular time. And so then we got past the guards and got down there to where the gates were sealed, and we prayed and bounded in the name of the Lord that the seal on those gates would be broken, that they would stand no longer. So we're going to hear from it. You just watch and see. And as we prayed for this, the group that was with us, remember when they came in on Palm Sunday, they began to sing Hosanna to the Lord. The group that was with us knew nothing of what we was doing, but they began to sing praises unto God. And there the guard got disturbed, and he ran down there and he said, "You can't do that, you can't do that." But we'd already broke the seal. We'd already done it. The law could hold it no longer. We got past and we broke the seal. Now then, Brother Mike going with us was a real typical thing. In the going over, Brother Mike had to do with some wonderful things. We went down to Mary's Well, and that Mary's Well is called the Temple of the Annunciation, where Gabriel made the annunciation that the coming of the Lord was at hand. Now, there where the child was born. Now then, Brother Michael went over there to signify this thing that was to take place. Now somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, if Gabriel announced the coming of the Lord, what Michael did in his annunciation, I certainly can't see where that would be Gabriel." But see, the difference is that Gabriel announced the coming of the Lord in the beginning. How many of you know that? At the birth, he's a messenger, and he announced it at the birth. But in the end time, it wasn't to be Gabriel, it was to be Michael that was to announce it, because in the book of Revelation, it said as quick as the man child was born, he was caught up to the throne, and Michael, being a warrior, began to declare war in heaven, and the red dragon was cast out. And so then it was to be Michael that was to take care of the thing in the end time, because Michael is a warrior, and Michael was to stand for his people in the latter times. So it was a beautiful thing that was taking place, even down to the Jordan. As we got down to the Jordan, and a number of people would like to have been baptized, but I told them, I said, we don't dig up the dead and rebury them. We don't just baptize people just because they're at the River of Jordan. You don't go through a bunch of ritualistics, you know, and just make a playhouse out of the kingdom of God just because it's the first time you ever seen Jordan. I said, I'm not going to rebaptize anybody unless they need rebaptizing. And I said, if there's somebody here that I have not baptized in Jesus' name, if they want us to baptize them, then I will baptize them in Jesus' name. And so then, Sister Cook and Brother James had not been baptized by us, and they wanted to be baptized, so I baptized them in the River Jordan. And when we did, if you notice, that those little birds never sang while the other brother was baptizing. But it was when we started baptizing that you can hear it on the tape, that right down below us there's a couple of doves that perched up down there on a limb, and these other birds begin to make a circle, white birds begin to make a circle around us while we was in the water, and the chirping started. And of course you notice how that the recorder picked it up. But when we baptized them, I really saw something taking place, because I'd made the statement over here. I said, folks, I said, now you can watch, and when we get to the River of Jordan, I said, it will completely change. I said, and the young people that are following our brother will completely change over and start following us after the baptism in the River Jordan. How do you remember me saying that? I said there'd be a complete change. Does anybody remember that at all? I said there'd be a complete change. So as it was, when we got down to the River Jordan and we baptized, it was the very same night that the youth leader came and sat in my place and said, I am not with that brother. And said, I am not with the charismatic move. Said, Brother Pike, I believe you've got something. And he said he wanted it. He was the leader of the group. Now, so then it changed the very night at the crossing of the Jordan. This brother had been over seven times, and those seven times had to do with the fulfilling of the church ages. And believe it or not, when he came back, that was to be the end of it. And when he came back after the change had taken place with his leader, he turned to his leader and he said, the next time you can take the group. And on this tour, he said, Brother Pike, this is the first time that I've ever been here and seen the desert blossom as a rose on this tour. Now, as we baptize Brother James and Sister Mary, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, this has to do with Mary and Jesus. And I said, well, how could that be? And he said to me, he said, because her name being what it is, and his name being Isaac, and Isaac was the promised son. And I saw it, and I saw some things begin to transpire from the time that we crossed the Jordan that I had not seen before. Some wonderful things begin to take place. Now, I did not plan to preach the message that I preached the first night. I had not made any plans to preach it. I had not looked up any scripture to try to preach it. But on the very first night that I ministered, the title of the sermon was Shiloh is Come. That was the first thing I preached on. That was what God gave me. Now, a strange thing took place at the beginning. The legend that Brother Taylor spoke of over here, that a lot of people laughed about when he spoke about it, but the legend of the killing of the dragon, the delivering of the maiden, the first thing that our guide did was to relate that legend. When we got on the bus, started down near Joppa, he related that legend and went through it completely. And then when we got to Mary's Well, I've never seen a picture of it before, but right at Mary's Well was the great big painting of the legend and the killing of the dragon. They got a picture of it. And then when we finished the trip, about the last thing the guy done, he related that legend again there at the end of the trip. Something wonderful took place on this trip. So many multiplied things that took place that I saw in the Spirit that proved to me that the coming of the Lord was at hand. Little things that would have no significance to you at all bear great witness to my heart and to my soul. I thought about what the Bible said in the coming of Jesus when he would stand upon the Mount of Olives, and I noticed that our driver's name was Olive. I also noticed that it was to be of the house of David, and our God was the house of David. I noticed that at the last of the trip, when David had left us at Joppa, where Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, there the Lord said to me, he said, go sit down in the seat of the God, which was David. I went and sat in the seat of David. When I sat down in the seat of David, the Lord said, that key that is in front of you, I want you to pick it up. It was a great big key. I picked it up. I did not know that the key had Israel written on it. But I picked it up, and God said, the key to Israel and the house of David. Now, somebody had just made the statement before, said, Brother Pike, I give you Jerusalem. I said, I take it. Then I sat down that seat. I picked up the key, and the driver knew nothing of my heart or my thoughts. Not anything did he know of it. But I picked the key up, and when I did, he immediately cried out in a loud voice, said, the key to Israel. The driver did that. The preparation of man's heart being from God, and immediately the group began to sing, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Nobody knew anything but Jesus. But things began to happen, things began to take place, because it signified the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not me as an individual, but my people as the member of the body of Christ and the revelation of Christ that was in their heart. Even the guide said they were a holy people and felt like something had taken place. He said, I've never seen people, Brother Pike, like your people. So I've never seen people like them. I made the statement the other night, out of hundreds and thousands of tourists that come into that land, and out of all the Hebrews and the Arabs and different ones, yet he said, I've never seen people like the people of little Bethlehem. So then something wonderful took place. Every step there was something outstanding, something that was thrilling. Even when we got to Mount Carmel, we got over there just before we went up to the top of Mount Carmel, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to meet Pat Boone. Well, I never expected him to meet him in there. And we walked into this place where they have these diamonds. $550 million worth of diamonds they sell from there. And I walked into this place, and as I walked into the place, there stood the movie star Pat Boone and the singer. And we met him and talked with him. And then when we talked with him, I said, Lord, I said, what is this? I said, what are you doing? And he reminded me that Pat Boone and George Otis had started in a movie called Adventure on High, or High Adventure, which had to do with what God was showing me. But anyway, I said, well, what's this got to do with us coming in here, meeting Pat Boone, and these diamonds being here? I said, I don't see anything in that. I said, just a bunch of diamonds. I said, a bunch of people, and he's in here buying one. The Lord told me, he said, I want to show you something spiritually. God began to speak. And suddenly I remembered that Pat Boone was connected with Red Foley's daughter. How many of you know that? Married Red Foley's daughter. Red Foley, being the master of ceremonies for many years down at the Grand Ole Opry, that was his flesh, his daughter. Which married the Pat, that made her his flesh. You follow me? And there we was, standing around these diamonds. Are you listening? He was starring in Adventure on High, or High Adventure, with George Otis. There we was. The Bible said as quick as the man child was born, it was caught up to the throne. Now where is the throne? Among the stars. Like movie stars. You've heard that saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. There all of those diamonds were stones of fire laying around as God began to speak to me. And there in the midst of those diamonds stood the master of ceremonies. ceremonies. Help you understand what I'm saying. The master of ceremonies, standing in the midst of the stones of fire. He said, in that day when I make up my jewels, that's what God said, when I make up my jewels, being caught up to the throne, the adventure on high, that was at Mount Carmel, where the fire came down, stones of fire, where the fire came down and the master of ceremonies came down to typify what God was doing in that area. At that very particular time, God goes to a lot of trouble to do what he wants to do. Now, when I talked with Pat, Pat said that he was going around from place to place cursing the paganistic places. He had no idea that we was going around cursing them. And I said, Lord, what is he doing cursing them? And God said, as on earth, so in heaven. If you curse it here, then I'll curse it up there. In other words, Pat, being typical among the movie stars, we was cursing on earth. He was typical of that which was in heaven. He was cursing it up there. God was cursing it as we cursed it down there. I saw a number of things take place as we went down the mountain to eat. I saw some things that God was doing in meeting this man, how the different things that God was trying to get us to see. And of course, I promised to write this man a letter and explain to him what I understood of his life. He asked me if I'd do that, and I promised to do it. But going over every step that we took, every place that we went, I watched carefully to see if it was going to be the way God told me it would be. And it happened just exactly to a T the way that God told me it would be. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and Jesus walked through that land, he gave a mighty manifestation of miracles and signs and wonders, insomuch that the people tried to make a king out of him. But in the day that Christ was to go through that land, nobody was to know it, nobody was to see it, nobody was to understand it, but it was to go through as a thief in the night and fulfill everything that God said it would fulfill, and then at the end to come back from that place, and then the wrath of God was to fall upon it. Something was to take place. Jesus said, if thou had known the hour of thy visitation, if thou had known the hour of thy visitation, but in that you did not know, he said, your houses are left unto you desolate until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He returned according to Revelation. He returned, and this was called the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Now, we've made the statement, I'm going to say this and hurry along here. I made the statement that the first resurrection was at Calvary. How many know that? A lot of times when you talk about the resurrection, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're preaching Revelation 19, and you're preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ hasn't come yet. But I want you to know that the first resurrection came many years ago. The first resurrection came at Calvary. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that the return of Christ is at the end. But Jesus said to Thomas and to the disciples, he said, I go away, and I will come again unto you. I go away. I will come again unto you. I go to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also, and I will return to receive you unto my own. I will come again. But he said, when he spoke to them, he said, the world shall not see me. The world shall not see me. Now, somebody would say, well, I believe when Jesus comes, the world will see him. But he said, I will come again, and they that look for me shall see me. They shall see me the second time without sin unto salvation. Is that right? So then the second coming of the Lord, are you listening?
the second time I will come again. The world shall not see me, Jesus said. I will come again, but the world shall not see me. For I will return the second time. Are you listening? The second time. Somebody said, I'm looking for the second coming of Christ. I will return the second time to them that look for me. I will return without sin unto salvation. How many understand what I'm saying? The Bible said he shall suddenly come into his temple and be glorified within his saints. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that a Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. He walked into the natural temple. He took a natural book and he preached a natural sermon. But when it come to the Gentiles' perspective of it in the second coming of Christ, he was to come not into a temple made with hands, but that temple made with hands pointed to this temple right here. And he was to come into the temple of the body of mankind and return into the heart of mankind to be glorified within his saints. And he said, God is within his temple, and let all of the world keep silent. God is within his temple. God is here. God's in his temple. Let the world keep silent because God is in his temple. That's why that our little Jewish brother, the only way that he knows how to express the thing, he said, I just know there's a mind somewhere. I know that there's a mind somewhere. There is a mind somewhere. God is a mind. God is a word. In the beginning was the word. God was a mind. He's always been a mind. He's still a mind. He dwells within the heart of mankind according to the measure that God has allowed each one of them to receive of that mind. Something great and mighty has taken place in our trip to Jerusalem. This thing will be seen more and more in a greater measure every day from here on out. Shortly, we'll see in a far greater way than we've ever seen, and understand in a greater way than we've ever understood. The world has missed the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. The Bible answers the question, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? They missed the second coming of Christ because he said that they would miss it. He said that they would not see it. He said, I will return the second time to them that looked for me. The world was supposed to miss it. They were not supposed to get it. He was to return to them unto salvation, to set them at liberty, to set them free. Now somebody would say then, Brother Pike, what do you think in Thessalonians when the Bible speaks of a moment in the twinkling of an eye, when every eye shall see him? What do you think in the book of Revelation when it says that those that pierced him shall narrowly look upon him? They shall. But when they do, it will be too late for salvation. I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. But when he comes back for them to see the nails, he won't be coming back for salvation. He won't be coming back for anybody to get salvation. He won't be coming back for anybody to be saved. That theory that the church has got, that when he comes back, everybody's going with him, that's not God. He said he would steal them out as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. If every eye sees him, then it cannot be as a thief in the night. If they that crucified him shall narrowly look upon him, it cannot be as a thief in the night. But if he returns a second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for him, in that God is a spirit, then it can be that way. You understand what I'm saying? He came as a natural Jesus to a natural Jew. A natural people killed a natural head and died a natural death, being cut off from God. You follow me? Millions of them have been killed since that time. And then the personification of God, the Spirit Jesus, stepped out of that body, for God's always been a spirit, and he stepped into the temple of God past Pentecost, and has been growing from a little babe. Paul said, till Christ be formed within him. He's been growing from a little babe ever since that time into the fullness of his stature and the fullness of his image, that it might not be us that live, but Christ that liveth within us, and the life we live be as a Son of God. That's why Paul said, you receive me as the Lord. For it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in my life, Paul said. Now, it is a true fact that the world has missed it. And they can fuss and they can dispute and split theological hairs and do whatever they want to, but they missed it. Jesus said they did not know the time of their visitation. When Brother Charlie had the vision, Shiloh has come. It was God speaking to him. And the same Shiloh that has come into my heart, that same Shiloh was in Israel. The Bible said that he was there and they knew him not. And it is so that today they still don't know him. And the world doesn't know him, but I know him. I've met him. Hallelujah. I've seen him. So then, Revelation 19, he was to come back. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. Jesus said to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then it's obvious that this great Christ that we're looking for has come and the world did not see him. He has come and his salvation, he has stolen away his bride. He has secured that which was his. He hath left the others empty and without anything and sent them away empty. Because the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh, for God hath blinded their eyes. And so then he hath taken that wife, and I'm going to say this in closing here in just a few minutes. He hath taken that bride that Joseph had down there, that Egyptian bride. He has sealed her in. He hath married her. He has sealed her in. And she is at his side. And that bride is this body that is relative to the inner spirit that is on the inside. The masculine part has married the female part. And that bride, which is his body, his membership, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, of whom he is the head, that body is sealed in. For the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of the redemption. Now it is sealed in. And inasmuch as it is sealed in, then there is only one thing that is left, and that is the coming of the brethren. For when Joseph had married and come into his power, then the brethren came. The only thing is left is the coming of the brethren, and the brethren will come. The coming of the brethren, for the 12 tribes came in after that he had married his Egyptian wife. I say this again, you know that America come from Egypt. How many of you know that? Civilization comes from Egypt. That's why she's going back to Egypt. The Egyptian bride. He went among the Gentiles to get his bride. So then, I want to leave these thoughts with you in closing. The Lord Jesus has returned. He has sealed his bride in. The end of the American government is here. It's falling. The mark of the beast is now coming in, and the 10 brethren will soon be on their way. Everything is followed step by step. And the Christ has returned the second time. He has taken his bride. And in Thessalonians, it is evident that when that Jesus is manifested, it will not be to the Gentile people, but it will be to the Jews. For the Bible teaches that the coming of the manifestation of Jesus, when every eye shall behold him, that it will be the resurrection of the dead. When every eye shall see him. That means that the body, which is typical of the Jewish nation, it will cause them to come in. The body which is dead in the grave is typical of the Jewish nation, or the Jewish nation typical of the bodies that are dead and in the grave. And these bodies that are dead by Calvary in baptism with Christ, and that this which is to be redeemed, and those that are to come forth from the dead, and the Jews which are the natural part coming forth, all will happen at the coming of Jesus to the Jews when they will say, where did you get the nail prints? Where did you get the nail prints? He said, in the houses of my friends. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, it said, even those that crucified him shall narrowly look upon him. That is true. But you've got to understand the scriptures, because I ask you a question to let you know that you don't understand. I ask you this question, how can they that crucified him narrowly look upon him when the Bible said the wicked dead live not again for 1,000 years? When you find the answer to it, then you'll know that you understand the other, and you come and tell me, and then we'll get together on it. But I can assure you that something has happened, and the world has not seen it. But I'm thankful because I saw it. I'm grateful to God because I saw it. I want you to stand with me. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. You say, Brother Pike, what is that first resurrection? Revelation 19 after the tribulation says this is the first resurrection. Then how is it, Brother Pike, that you say the first resurrection took place at Calvary? Because Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept, and he said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. Having been hid away because man looketh upon the outward appearance, they did not account for it as the first resurrection, and since they don't see him until after the tribulation, when he does come back as the blood off of the mercy seat and the vesture dipped in blood, then they acknowledge that the first resurrection has been made manifest. So it's evident by the same token in that they did not recognize the first resurrection at Calvary and don't recognize it until after the tribulation period. It is by the same token that the coming of the Lord Jesus, which also was shortly after Calvary, they did not recognize that and will not recognize it until Revelation 19. You understand what I'm saying? But brothers and sisters, it will be too late then. What was to be has been. And what is to be shall be. And we're to be part of it if we can believe. How do you understand what we're saying? So Solomon tells us that that was one time, so it is now. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's never altered his plans. People have not been serious with God. They did not understand that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. Somebody would say the revelation of Jesus Christ is to get us ready for the coming of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ is to point us to the coming of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ certainly is not to get us ready nor to point us to it. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the coming of the Lord. For God is a spirit. God is a great mind. God is a great power. God is a great understanding. God is a revelation. You say, how do you get that? Because God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Made it revelation to babes such as will learn. How many of you believe God is a spirit? Hallelujah. Okay, how many believe that God is here? Hallelujah. Okay, then where is God at? Come on, folks. Do we know what we're talking about? Or are we playing a game? Are we making believe that God's here? If we are, then we're playing a game. If we're playing a game, it's time to quit. Time to get converted. Time to find somebody that's telling the truth. Are you listening? So then if two or three gather together in my name, did he say I'd be in the midst of them? Do you believe we come together in his name here? Do you believe that he is in the midst of us? If so, then where is he at? Where is he at? Jesus said, you don't understand my speech because you can't hear my voice. But my sheep know my voice. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the little chorus, they'll come from the east and the west, because they're doing it, and they're going to do it. Jesus said, I've called ye gods. How do you feel like a god this morning? Let me see your hand. If you don't feel like a god this morning, you're coming short of your liberties. Amen. So we stone you because you being a man make yourself God. What are you folks doing making yourself God? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. How many believe that? Said, if you can drink my blood, why do you have to drink his blood? So that you can become his flesh. His flesh is made out of his blood. God is a spirit. He's the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. If you're looking for a human being as a God, if you're looking for some natural manifestation of God, then you're never going to see it. Never. Because God is the great light unto which no man, no human being can approach. No man. You understand what I'm saying? God is the great light. What kind of light? An understanding. It's not a light like in that light bulb. The light of understanding that destroys the perversion of the tree of knowledge with the brightness of his coming. The shadows fade away into nothing. God is the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. Never will they be able to see him. Jesus Christ alone dwells within that light. He alone dwells within that light. No man dwells within that light. But Jesus Christ alone dwells within that light. For God is the great light. No man can approach unto it. No man has seen it. No man can see it. For no man has seen God at any time. Somebody would say, but Moses saw God. The Bible said Moses saw the Lord. And that behind the part. You love the Lord? Let's sing the little chorus, they'll come from the east and the west, Eddie. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands of far to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, in his crown to shine. Sing it again. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands of far to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. We're blessed, partake. As gems in his crown. And you sing it one more time. They'll come from the east.